Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, High Conflict: Why We Get Trapped and How We Get Out by investigative journalist Amanda Ripley is narrative nonfiction that examines a specific kind of destructive escalation that can hijack ordinary disagreements. Ripley distinguishes everyday conflict, which can be useful and clarifying, from high conflict, which turns into an us versus them struggle that becomes self-sustaining. As the conflict intensifies, people often grow more certain of their own righteousness and more baffled by the other side, while the original problem recedes and the fight itself becomes the point. Drawing on reporting, social science, and real-world examples across personal, civic, and political life, Ripley explores why high conflict is so magnetic and why it is so hard to exit once it takes hold. The book's purpose is both diagnostic and practical, to help readers recognize the forces that deepen polarization and to offer approaches that can shift the energy away from demonization and toward a form of good conflict that remains heated but produces learning, progress, and sometimes resolution. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, defining high conflict versus good conflict. A central contribution of the book is the distinction between conflict that is functional and conflict that becomes consuming. Ripley portrays high conflict as more than a disagreement about issues or interests. It is a pattern of escalation in which people and groups interpret events through a moralized good versus evil frame, adopt an us versus them identity, and begin to experience the conflict as a kind of reality of its own. In that state, tactics that seem like solutions often backfire, because each move is read as proof of the other side's bad faith. High conflict also tends to flatten complexity. Nuanced positions get squeezed into two camps, but two, and participants can start to mimic the behaviors they most dislike in their opponents. By contrast, good conflict is not gentle or conflict avoidant. It can be intense, stressful, and principled, but it remains connected to a goal beyond victory. It preserves room for complexity, keeps human relationships from becoming purely instrumental, and allows people to revise beliefs without humiliation. This framework helps readers name what they are in and evaluate whether a fight is still about a solvable problem or has shifted into self-perpetuating warfare. Secondly, psychological traps that make escalation feel inevitable. Ripley emphasizes that high conflict is not simply caused by bad people or bad arguments. It is powered by predictable dynamics in human perception and emotion. When identities feel threatened, people become more vigilant for insults and more likely to interpret ambiguous actions as attacks. Certainty becomes rewarding, while doubt feels dangerous. Over time, participants can narrow their information diets, seek confirming signals from their own side, and interpret the other side through stereotypes rather than lived reality. The resulting loop encourages outrage and blame, because those emotions create cohesion and clarity, even as they reduce accuracy. Ripley also highlights the role of humiliation and status threat, which can intensify commitment to the conflict and make compromise feel like surrender. As escalation grows, the conflict can crowd out alternative sources of meaning, turning into a storyline that organizes a person's social world and self-image. This helps explain why leaving high conflict can feel like betrayal or loss of identity. The book invites readers to treat these patterns as signals, not shameful flaws, and to look for ways to interrupt the loop before it hardens into a permanent worldview. Thirdly, conflict entrepreneurs and the incentives that keep fights burning. Beyond individual psychology, Ripley explores how social incentives can trap communities in high conflict. Some actors benefit materially or reputationally from keeping conflict hot. They gain attention, donations, votes, clicks, followers, or professional relevance by amplifying outrage and simplifying narratives. These conflict entrepreneurs may not invent grievances from nothing, but they can intensify them by rewarding the most extreme interpretations and punishing moderating voices. In polarized environments, people learn quickly which messages get applause and which invite suspicion. Institutions can unintentionally reinforce this, especially when media dynamics favor speed, drama, and two-sided combat over uncertainty and depth. Ripley shows how high conflict spreads through networks like a contagion, making it harder for ordinary participants to see incentives clearly while they are inside the fight. Recognizing incentive structures becomes a practical skill. Instead of asking only who is right, the book encourages asking who profits from escalation, what behaviors are being rewarded, and which off-ramps are being made socially costly. This lens helps readers understand why rational arguments alone rarely cool a high conflict, and why changing the surrounding incentives often matters as much as changing minds. Fourthly, the understory, what the conflict is really about, Ripley argues that high conflict often persists because the visible argument is not the full story. Underneath, policy positions or interpersonal grievances are deeper drivers such as fear, identity, belonging, dignity, and unresolved trauma. people may be fighting about a surface issue while actually seeking recognition, safety, or respect, or reacting to past experiences that make the present feel existential. When these forces remain unspoken, each side misreads the other as irrational or malicious, which reinforces the moralized narratives that sustain escalation. The book highlights the value of finding the understory, not to excuse harmful behavior but to understand what is being protected and what is being lost. This is where curiosity becomes strategic rather than sentimental learning. What experiences shape the other person's certainty, what pressures they face from their own group, and what they fear will happen if they concede. By shifting attention from positions to underlying needs and meanings, the conflict can become more workable, even when agreement is impossible. Understanding the understory can reduce demonization and open space for solutions that address real drivers rather than endlessly relitigating the same surface arguments. Lastly, how people exit high-conflict practices that restore complexity. Ripley does not offer a quick formula for ending entrenched fights. Instead, she assembles a set of approaches that make exiting high conflict more likely by changing how people relate to one another and to their own certainty. A recurring theme is the deliberate reintroduction of complexity through humility, active listening, and questions that invite narrative rather than debate. Effective interventions often create conditions where participants can acknowledge harm, revise views, or set boundaries without public humiliation. Mediation and structured dialogue can help by slowing the tempo, reducing performative incentives, and making room for the human stakes behind rigid positions. Ripley also underscores the role of outsiders, people not fully captured by the fight, who can help create off-ramps and remind participants of identities and relationships beyond the conflict. Another practical principle is recognizing saturation points, moments when the conflict stops producing benefits and starts consuming what people care about. Exiting high conflict is framed as a shift from winning to understanding and from total victory to workable coexistence. The aim is not enforced harmony but good conflict, a form of disagreement that still allows learning, accountability, and forward movement. In conclusion, high conflict is best suited for readers who feel stuck in recurring disputes at work, in family systems, or in civic life, as well as for leaders, educators, journalists, and mediation or conflict resolution practitioners who need a clearer map of escalation. Its practical value lies in the book's ability to help readers diagnose when a conflict has crossed the line into self-perpetuating warfare and to identify what keeps it there. Identity threat, humiliation, simplified binaries, and incentive structures that reward outrage. The intellectual benefit is a more precise vocabulary for distinguishing productive disagreement from the kind that corrodes judgment and relationships. Ripley stands out in the conflict literature because she combines investigative reporting with accessible social science and lived examples, making the dynamics recognizable without turning them into a purely therapeutic or purely political argument. Compared with books that focus mainly on negotiation tactics or persuasion, this one pays sustained attention to how conflict changes perception and behavior, and why standard fixes often intensify the very problem they aim to solve. The result is a grounded, hopeful approach that does not ask readers to abandon convictions, but to pursue them in ways that reduce demonization and keep disagreements connected to reality and to human dignity. If you would like to support Amanda Ripley, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.